Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWIT.
Bandwidth for the podcast version of Trey's Variety Hour is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Trey. Welcome to the Variety Hour number 32. Okay, thanks, Dave. We got an amazing show for you tonight. We're talking all about this new Google Plus Photographers Conference. And many of the speakers that are going to be there joined us tonight. We have Jeremy Coward, Guy Kawasaki. We have RC Concepcion. We have the Nicole S. Young. It'll be great. Very, very excited. And we're just kind of generally hanging out tonight. We'll talk a little bit about the conference. And I also want to find out what everybody's up to. We have an amazing book giveaway from Guy Kawasaki, all sorts of stuff that's happening. But let's go around, and I want people to introduce themselves and talk about what they're doing and what's going on. So let's start randomly with Guy, who just landed in Florida.
Yeah, hi. So I'm in Orlando, Florida, and I'm sitting in a hotel room, and I'm basically editing my book, What the Plus, because about 10 days ago, everything became wrong when Google changed Google Plus. So I have about 100 screenshots in my book, and about 99 are being changed. So I'm sitting here doing that. They're being changed. So that.
I don't know. Well, I'm sure you're a professional. You'll get that jammed together in no time flat. So this giveaway that we're doing, is the giveaway going to be for the new version or the old version?
Well, depends. I mean, if you can wait, I can do it later. But if you want it tonight, it's the old version.
No, it's okay. I think the winners will be ready to wait, especially when they find out what they get and the whole deal. It's very exciting. So thank you. Hey,
Jim. It's only a $3 upgrade to the new version of the book.
Less than a latte. Hey, Jeremy, what's going on with you?
Oh, I am trying to tweet this out so I can get everybody on and let them know we're here. But otherwise, I'm in California in my house. I have just finished another conference last week. I'm about to launch a Life Finder tour in May, which means I'll be going around from Denver to San Francisco to Orange County, Minneapolis, New York City, and I forget where else to do my own teaching tour, but during the month of May. I'm very excited to be with you guys at the Google Plus conference for photographers. I'm really excited about that. And so I'll be doing that. And I'm trying to launch my new website this week. JeremyCoward.com will be all new. And I'm also trying to launch an iPhone app in the next couple of weeks. So definitely a very, very, very busy time, but it's all exciting. So I'm a happy camper.
Cool. Thank you. So, Nicole, are you going to be going to an evening with Jeremy Cowart?
I will be. I am signed up and ready to go to the Google Plus conference. Sweet. So I'm pretty excited for that.
But cool. Well, tell us all about what you do and how people can find you and stuff.
Well, Nicole S. Young, otherwise known as Nicole Z. I write books. This is my most recent print book, Food Photography, From Snapshots to Great Shots.
And a nice book it is.
Thank you very much, RC. Very proud of it. I love this book. And I just found out it's going to be translated into like 5 different languages. So anyone listening who speaks, I don't remember all the languages, but you'll be able to read it in your own language. I'm actually in the process of finishing up another ebook for Craft and Vision. I have a few more book projects, print and look at that. Yeah, nice, Dave. sorry, I'm laughing at Dave over here. He's showing off the signed edition of the Nicole S. Young Food Photography book. No, I'm writing another ebook right now. I've got 2 more books, a print book and another ebook for my first ebook with Trey's Flatbooks Company. So I'm kind of been doing more writing than photographing, it feels like, but I enjoy it. It's all about photography, so it makes me happy.
Cool. Thank you, Nicole. Sure. And RC, what's up with you?
Not much over here. My name is RC. I am one of the Photoshop guys with Scott Kelby. So I work for Kelby Media Group in Tampa, Florida. I've written two books, one on HDR, one on inspiring photographers to get on the web. I'm the host of D-Town TV, a weekly podcast that we do. So it's just basically all things Kelby. The best place to check most of that stuff out is best place to go is the KelbyTV.com to be able to check most of that stuff. We have just been through the ringer on getting everything ready for a lot of CS6 stuff. So today was a launch day for Adobe for the Creative Suite and the Creative Cloud and all of that kind of stuff. So the last couple of weeks have just kind of been a blur. We've just been sitting here just processing everything between Lightroom 4 and, you know, all the Creative Suite stuff. But today it's launch day. We're like, yay, it's cool. So we're doing all these webcasts. So and we're ecstatic. I'm speaking at the Google Plus conference with Scott and Matt and all you guys. So I think that's going to be a phenomenal time.
Great. Yeah, we're excited to see you. I think a lot of people are going to be excited to come to this conference. So I want Guy to talk about his book in just a second. But first, I want to describe this incredible giveaway that he has just informed us about. So if you want to win a copy, he is giving away 500 free copies of What the Plus. And to win, just jump on my Google Plus stream and just leave a comment. And you're instantly a winner. We'll take the first 500, and I'll get to you later about how you're going to be able to get the book. Just watch, and I'll leave like the final comment, or I'll change the description, or I'll find a way to make sure you guys get this book. All right, but Guy, go ahead and tell us what's in this book. Why is it so wonderful? Sure. Why should people read it?
So, for those of you who don't know my checkered past, I work for Apple as Apple's evangelist back in the mid-80s. And back then, at least my interpretation of history was that Macintosh was better than the competition, but fewer people used it, and all the experts said that it would fail. And so now fast forward, I don't know, 25 years or whatever it's been, and now, you know, I fell in love with Google Plus, and I think it's better. I think fewer people use it. And a lot of experts say it's going to fail. So this is kind of deja vu. And so it really pisses me off when people don't use the best tool available. So I wrote the Macintosh Way back in 1987. And so now I'm doing a similar thing, where I wrote a book called What the Plus to explain why I thought Google Plus was so great and how to get the most out of it. So it's only the second time in my life that I've written a book about a product. And the result is What the Plus. And I'm just trying to help people master Google Plus because I think it's so great. I just love Google Plus.
Well, so do all of us. photographers especially seem to love it. It seems to be sort of like the perfect medium at the perfect time for the perfect art form. And yeah, it just is all gelling so naturally.
But, you know, I have to say, with the new interface they introduced a week or so ago, unless you put something that's 510 pixels or so wide, it has those black bars around it. I just hate that. It's driving me crazy.
I think they're aware of that. I was actually in a hangout with Brian Rose, and that was my main concern, because if you post a square photo, and I even saw a Thomas Hawk comment, if you post a square photo, that should be the largest size. That should, you know, cover both the horizontal and vertical size of all the way to the edges, and even vertical images, either push it to the edges or just let it be white.
Well, they could just make the background be white and no one would have a problem anymore, right? I don't know. You know, if Steve Jobs would have fired the person who made that decision. I guarantee you that.
Well, the good news is these guys seem to iterate pretty darn quick and really listen to our feedback. So I think they've gotten this square, no letterboxing on the side type thing from a lot of people. I think they'll iterate, because it's just why not make it a little taller? And pictures are awesome. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, I also want to give a little plug here to a lot of other authors that are doing something on flatbooks.com. Let me screen share this. Let me jump over to my browser and show you, because we have three new authors that have just launched in the last 3 weeks that you guys might like to know about. This one is called Conceptual Portraiture, Volume 1. This is written by Scott Detweiler, a wonderful book, all kinds of great things you'll enjoy learning about. So that's one. A second one that launched is this one. It's all about composition. It's called The Tuesday Composition. It's written by Joe Decker, full of all kinds of great information that you'll appreciate if you're getting into photography. And the last one I'll mention is from Google Plus star Paul Roustan, who is a very well-known body painter. He does these live hangouts where he does body painting. And this book is all about his technique and what goes through his mind. And, you know, one thing that most people don't know is that there's a lot of thought that goes into the photography of this stuff. Because, I mean, a body painting is one thing, but a good photo of the body painting is something else entirely. And the guy is just amazing. I mean, I don't know if you can tell or not, but this girl in this one is just, you know, she's naked. But, you know, how could you tell? The guy is amazing. So nothing else is an excuse to buy a book with scandalous photos inside. Okay, Paul, that's about the best plug I can give for you. Anyway, so it's a good excuse for you to support your local Google Plus artist and kind of share the circle of love. And like Nicole said, she's doing an ebook for it soon. And anyway, it'll be, I think you'll get a lot of fun out of these. Okay. Let's talk about, this conference, and what's going on with it. Nicole, what are you going to be doing at the conference?
Well, I'm just, for the first time, I'm not going as a speaker role or any official capacity. I am going as an attendee. I'm really excited. A lot of it is to socialize and see some old friends, make some new friends, do kind of hang out in real life with people I've met online. Like Trey, I've never actually met you in person, so I'm really excited to meet you and go to your photo walk. So that's kind of why I'm going. I feel like I have a pretty good grasp on Google Plus, but the photography aspect, you know, and merging the two together, I think it's going to be really exciting. You know, they're going to have one-on-one portfolio reviews, which is really, really good information, especially for people who don't have the photography. Maybe they're in a smaller community. They don't have the photography community where they get to share their photos on a really intimate level, you know, and get some real feedback from people. So I think it's going to start small, and if it catches on, it's going to get big. And my expectation is it's going to be a worldwide thing. I don't know, I have any inside feedback. I'm just kind of guessing, you know, because Google in general is so big and so worldwide that it's going to be in San Francisco this time, and then maybe, who knows, maybe it'll be in another part of the world. So
this will be like Woodstock, and like, you know, 500,000 people will claim they went to the first Google Plus photography concert conference, and only like, you know, 5,000 or 500 went.
You know what? And Guy, that's the funny part about it. It's like, I remember a couple months ago, we were sitting around talking about this. I remember I got a phone call from Scott. And as like 12:30 at night, as you do. And I'm like, hey, what's up? And he's like, all right, you know what I'm going to do? I'm like, what? And he's like, I'm going to put together the Google Plus Photographers Conference. And I'm like, and that means what? And he's like, and because, I mean, the funny part about it is like walking around and listening to him is one of those things where it's like he sees so far around the bend sometimes that it's like, you're like, dude, you're just going to crash. You really, really are. But he's like, what about, he's like, so many people are doing Google Plus for photography. He's like, so many photographers have gravitated to it. The UI's there. The pictures look great. The community's great. The sharing is great. And he's like, but don't you just want to get together with the people that you follow, the people that inspire you, the people that work with you, to just kind of go out and do something awesome? And he's like, just go out and do something awesome. Go out and play. Go out and shoot. Go out and maybe talk a little bit about shop. Talk a little bit about brand. Talk a little bit about inspiration. And he's like, not a regimented conference. He's like, because when we do those conferences all the time. Like we do, you know, Photoshop World twice a year. And a lot of that stuff, yes, it is inspirational. But it's like, this is what you do in Photoshop. This is what you do in this. This is what you do in that. He said,
my room service came. Excuse me.
So he's like, so he sat there and he was just like, what if we just did a conference that was just largely based on inspiration? What if we just did a spot that just turned around and said, let's go ahead and just go and set that up?
Sorry, we had to mute Guy Kawasaki there. He was talking to the room service guy about his new book.
Right. So that's where the genesis of most of that stuff came from. It was just getting together with a small amount of people. You know, like we have several thousand people that show up to Photoshop World. We wanted a small amount of people to get together and just kind of go hang out and just turn around and say, hey, I want to go do a walk with Jeremy Cowart. I want to go do a walk with Trey. Keep these things small so that the interaction that you have is a lot bigger, right? So people can actually hang out and talk to Jeremy about inspiration, and people can hang out and talk to Trey about inspiration, and can talk to Scott about inspiration. So the conference was built behind that entire thing. It's kind of like this mini party. You know, you want to feel like you were a part of something special. You want to feel like you were a part of something big. And I really, really do think that Scott's onto something here. I can't be any more excited about it.
So there are 10 different photo walks going on. And when you sign up for the conference, you get to pick which one you want to do. Each one is capped out at, I think, 50 people. And I heard, RC, that you have thrown in something special for your photo walk. You're offering a free coffee to anyone that comes to yours, right?
Yeah, I'm offering coffee. What was that?
Where did I read that?
No, that was you trying to subvert my walk. You said that I was offering hot tubs.
Hot tub
weekends with me. And I was just like, whoa, I'm not offering such thing. And they were throwing in coffee and all that stuff. No, but I mean, yeah, I'm like, I'm doing a walk in Chinatown.
So
50 people are going to be able to get together. And we wanted to cap that because we wanted people to kind of just feel like they were a part of the walk. We didn't want it to be just like a photo lead. It's like, hey, come with me. 200 people were just like, we wanted people to kind of interact and hang out and do stuff, you know.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. Everyone getting together afterwards and comparing shots from different parts of the city. And if this crowd is as online active as I think they are, I hope we all use the same hashtag. And we should be able to just see live what's happening all over the city at once. Just, I don't think it's ever quite been done. Have 10 groups of socially online active photographers canvassing a city all at the same time. It should be really like wild.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be a really, really good thing. And then we have two big nights. Like the first night of the conference, we have one person talking a night with, and then we have another one where we have another night with.
I think we have both of them here, right?
Oh, that's right. We do have both of them here. So the first night is we're going to have an evening with Trey Ratcliffe. So Trey can talk to us about all of his different things. And then on the second night, we have Jeremy Cowart,
who's going to talk to us. We're getting an evening with both of us.
Yeah. So look at that.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm normally much more entertaining, so I'll have to amp it up for the real show. Jeremy, are you leading one of these photo walks, and where is yours going to be?
I am doing, I didn't know that y'all were going to be doing photo walks until we had already planned my tour. So I won't be doing one the day before.
But I am
open and willing to do one at some point. So I don't know if I can squeeze one in, but I would absolutely love to lead one. So,
dude, just come to mine, man. Take over mine. I'm going to Chinatown. You can take 25. I'll take 25.
There you go. Yeah. So I'm trying to, you know, I'll try to figure it out. But, Trey, yours. Your last one down in Santa Monica, that's the first one I've ever been to, and I didn't really know what all it entailed, so that was fun for sure.
Yeah, that was a fun one. The weather was perfect, and people were nice and had a good time. That was a good one. That was the first time I was shocked how tall you were. You appear to be normal height in Hangouts, but in person, you're like towering.
I have these little stilts that I wear under my jeans, so that definitely helps.
Yeah, no, it was cool. It was really nice to meet you. And now, actually, we get time to hang out in San Francisco.
Finally. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Is everybody here in this chat coming to the conference?
Yes, everyone except for Dave Veffer. Dave, I didn't give you an introduction time. Tell us about you.
Well, I am Dave Veffer. I am an IT guy / Photoshop guy at a commercial photography studio in New Jersey. You can find my profile at plusdave.com.
And Dave produces the show for me and does all the hard, heavy lifting. So thank you, Dave. And then over here In the second to right box is Tony Wang, who I saw on Saturday at another photo walk. How are you, Tony?
I'm doing great. Hi, everybody. I'm Tony Wang. I'm the producer here at Twit. I do Twit Photo here as well. And also, you know, Trader's Variety Hour is my newest show. So, yep.
Thank you, Tony. Dynamic and exciting as always.
You also produce Forecast, right, Tony?
Yes. Dave will be on next week, so.
Ah, yay!
Yay, Dave! Tony, when can we see all your photos that you took from the photo walk? You're really getting into photography. It's exciting.
Yeah, I actually already put them up. I tagged them with the hashtag SF Flickr Walk, I think, photo walk. Yeah.
Yes. So. It was a Flickr photo walk, but it was crashed by a ton of Google Plus people with all our Google Plus straps and lots of Google employees were there just kind of surreptitiously lurking about. It was cool.
It was fun.
So, Guy, you're giving a big talk at this thing. What are you going to talk about, your book or what?
I think he's still muted.
We had to mute you, Guy. So there's a little mute button up there at the top. We heard all this room service activity going on.
So I'm gonna focus my talk about using Google Plus for personal branding, because I mean, you know, I'm like the least qualified photographer there, so I'll talk about something I know something about, which narrows it down to branding. So
I'm excited for your talk, Guy. I'm a super geek, and I've already like printed out the whole schedule, and I've deciding all the classes I want, and yours is like the first one I circled. That seems like a really, you know, it's because as photographers, we know a lot about photography, but oftentimes we tend to slack on the business and branding side of things. And I think that we don't realize its importance until it's like way into our careers. And, you know, so that's something that's good that it's getting there out there so people can kind of take notice.
Well, that's the only thing I'm qualified to talk about at this conference. So that, you know, I try to talk about stuff I know about. So that's what I'll do. It's all about marketing and evangelism for me.
See, cool. And I think that that's like that part for me. And I'll just say this just as an unabashed guy fan. You know, we were saying that when we was talking about, and I was like, yeah, the Macintosh way. I'm like, that book still floats around in our office. Like I've seen it float around. And then when Enchantment came out, we've seen that float around. And I think that that's the part that I think that's really, really essential when people are looking at this kind of stuff. You know, you're a photographer, you're sharing on this social network and you're doing these kinds of things, whether it be, you know, getting people interested in your art, getting people interested in commerce and getting interested to buy a service, get a flat book or what have you. The most important thing that you do have to keep in mind is that you have to be an evangelist for yourself. You know, you have to turn around and make sure that you're, you know, likable and approachable and personal and personable, you know, all of these different types of things. So I think that that's one of those things that a lot of people don't talk about. So I'm ecstatic that you're doing
I will totally cover that subject. And I just want you to know that I'm tired of hearing you telling me that there's one copy of my book floating around your office. Can you guys buy multiple copies or what?
Busted.
Dude, we share it. That's all we do. We went on your website and we got the free download of the Macintosh Way.
Guy, I know that I would love to hear from you in your speech. I don't know if you're going to cover this, but I know that I would love to hear from you for people like us who are an individual brand. You know, I am me, my business is me, and I'm always promoting me, and I really hate it, if I'm being honest. Like, literally, I'm doing a tour in May, a speaking tour, and every time I tweet about it, I am literally cringing so hard because I cannot stand to be like, hey, come hear me talk because I'm amazing and I'm going to change your life. Like, it really, really sucks. Truly.
Why don't you just hire a virtual assistant?
I guess I need to, but I'll be curious to hear your thoughts as to how we can continue to talk about the things we need to be promoting without feeling like a tool.
Okay.
There's your title right there.
There you go.
About things without feeling like a tool.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with feeling like a tool.
Well, I'm not doing it very well, so maybe I can get your advice.
Okay.
No, I think, Jeremy, you raise a good point, but I think no one thinks badly of you because, you know, you're a genuine guy with good information. You're authentic. And, you know, if you're going out to share information, you know, how else are they going to find out about it unless you tell them about it? If they're not interested, they just won't go. But, you know, you have to at least tell them because they don't pay attention to every little thing you say or come to your website to read your tour list. I mean, you gotta mention it. And, you know, you're out there sharing information and advice. You could just do what people did 10, 20, 30 years ago and keep everything inside and not tell anybody. Exactly. And, you know, so people largely appreciate it. And those people that are predisposed to think you're a tool or crass or whatever, you don't care about those people anyway, because they don't need to be in your circle. Just go ahead and just carve them off as people that you don't need to think about.
Yeah, it's very interesting for sure, and I'm figuring it out as I go along. So thanks for the advice, for sure.
Dude, and you know what the perfect analogy of Jeremy, and I know this because, I mean, I personally know you and things like that. I was talking in Photoshop World, and I was giving a talk on social media and how to use social media for interactivity and community and things like that. And, you know, we do this because we love it, but we know that there's a part of us like you that's in a business for this, right? So you do have to kind of transact business to this. If you get on the social web and all you're doing is just going like this, buy now, buy now, buy now, buy now. People are just so attuned to just seeing all of this, buy now, buy now, buy now, buy now, that a lot of people are doing this. They just walk around like this. So what I tell people, and it sounds corny, but the analogy that I use is, when people are doing this, just do this. It's just like, just put your hands out. Just put your hands out and reach out to these people. Because in order for those people to come over and hug you back, they got to do this. So for that one moment that they take their hands out and get together with you, communicate with you, commune with you, that's the kind of personal, and I know that that's what you do in spades. So what I'm saying for that part is, you do that. You have a relationship with people. You're a very, very genuine person. So you're already doing that. People love you. So as they're doing that stuff, bring them in really, really tight and go, I really want you to come to the Lifefinder tour. And then you're there, dude. And it's very genuine. It's, you know, you're not just selling out.
Yeah. No, it's good. And another thing I've started doing that is helpful, even today on Google Plus, I changed my header banner and my Facebook timeline cover, and I have a website called Whosay where I post an image. Basically, it's just advertising. So I think that helps. Just, you know, my new banner on Google Plus is advertising the tour. So hopefully I can get away with at least just using the advertising and not have to spam people as much about it. So we'll see. It's fun.
Jeremy, how do you like Whosay?
I like it. You know, I like that we can control our interface and put whatever we want up there, and they don't own anything. I've really enjoyed it so far. What about you?
I like it too, but I don't like that I can't export to Google Plus.
Yeah.
It's a problem, you know, because Google hasn't opened up its API. I think they should, because that's where all the Hollywood people are. They're on Whosay. That's why they just keep broadcasting to Facebook and Twitter, because it's integrated. And, you know, it's not that they're lazy, it's just that they're busy. Luckily, guys like you and me and all of us have, you know, a little bit of extra internet time, so we don't mind putting stuff on various networks and making them different on every network. But that does take a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Speaking of, when is the Google Plus API going to open up? Does anybody know?
Guy, do you have any inside info for us?
Before the end of 2012. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know if they're ever going to. I think one of the things they're trying to do is keep all these automated posts off of Google Plus that are going to happen as soon as they have an API.
Well, but, you know, I mean, I understand that concern. But so, you know, make it, you have to be verified before you can use the API. I mean, there must be some way around that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not a bad way to it's not a bad approach to it. Do you think, I think that if people just start doing a lot of automated check-ins or, you know, automated whatevers, that I'll just uncircle them. If it gets annoying, then I'll just turn them off. So I think people are generally smart about what is and isn't automated.
Well, you know, I have an automated process for Twitter where I have contributors who write tweets for me, and they're automatically posted 4 times, 8 hours apart. So I'm the height of automation. And I can tell you that it's not a problem. And you get 4 times more click-throughs than if you posted it once. Mm-hmm. So I'm the extreme of that. And, you know, I mean, I don't have that many enemies on Twitter. I mean, it's not like I'm a bad guy on Twitter. So the realization is that, you know, there are people at 8 a.m. Pacific, and there are people at 11 a.m. Pacific and 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Pacific, and those are very different populations.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think most people, you can't expect people to read every one of your tweets. They don't watch you that closely. So you're just basically, it's like a rerunning headline news in a way. You know, if you want to catch up on what guy's up to or what guy thinks is interesting, you know, I'm not going to go data mine you through the day. I just want to look and see what's there. So, yeah.
Well, it's, you know, if you're ever really bored, try watching CNN or ESPN for a day, and you see how much they repeat.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. Jerry, what panels are you doing at the conference? What did you sign up for?
Well, I was never really given an option, so
sorry, dude.
I was sent an email and told what I was going to be doing, and that looks like live blind photo critiques is what I'll be doing. I was told I will be doing an evening with myself. Growing your audience on Google Plus, panel and portfolio review. So that's my agenda that I have received.
I'm doing one of these blind critiques too. I've never done one. I assume, I'm just guessing what it means, is that means we're critiquing someone's photo, but we don't know who that someone is, right?
Yes, exactly.
That's correct.
I'm glad you said that, because I had no idea what it was either. So there you go.
They do them on the grid. So on the RC, is, you know, the Scott Kelby Media Grid show that they do every Wednesday. So
yeah, I guess the intent is that it helps us to be more brutal, right?
Well, just more honest. Critical.
Yes. I wouldn't say brutal, but I would say critical. Definitely.
But now, if you're going to the conference and you want someone to be brutal to your photos, make sure you try and get them into Trey's little
I don't care. I'll tell you what I think. But
he's gonna be the old curmudgeon on the lawn. He's gonna be like, that thing sucks, move it, next one.
Well, luckily I'm already so polarizing that either people will listen to what I say or they just don't even care. So, you know, if people don't like my analysis, they could just write it off, and that's fine. Obviously, I think that's the weird thing about critiques, is that every photographer has their own baggage, right? They really see the world in a certain way. So whatever critique you get is through one particular lens. And so I really don't think that critiques are necessarily that great, unless you're able to somehow synthesize various critiques from various lenses and understand all the combinations and permutations of the baggage that photographer who's giving the critique brings into it. Otherwise, it can be a very confusing process if you're the critiquee.
I think it also depends on who's critiquing your photos. Like, if I have somebody critique my photos who maybe I don't know the photographer, or I don't particularly like their work, or I don't respect them, then it's not going to weigh as heavily as somebody whom I actually respect very highly. I believe their photos are what I aspire to, you know, have my photos become. They're very acclaimed. They have good images. They're not just, you know, a hack who happened to make it. That's, you know, it really matters. I think, you know, you should find people to critique your work who you respect and who has experience as a photographer and actually knows what they're talking about. But, you know, I like, because I know for the Google Plus conference, it's, I think it's the attendees are able to, we're able to submit our work to have it critiqued. So there's a part of me that's very like, should I do it? You know, it's that nervous, you know, because I have photos. I'm very fond of some of my photos. And, you know, I'm like, well, if I put my favorite photos out there and they just get ripped to shreds, I'm going to think probably very differently about those photos. And I've had, you know, people make a comment on maybe one photographer in particular. I said, made a comment, and I was open to it. I wanted him to critique my image. And he made one comment, and now to this day, I don't like that photo anymore. So I'm afraid to put photos in there that I actually like, but that's what I should do because otherwise I won't grow. So it's very tough.
Yeah, it is tough. So, hey, for people just tuning in, I want to reiterate this great offer that Guy Kawasaki is giving. So he's giving away 500 free copies of his book. If you want to win one, just leave a comment in the Google Plus thread on my stream for this live hangout. Guy, people are not just commenting, but they're saying all kinds of things, nice things about you. This one guy, Mark Webb, says that without Guy Kawasaki, the inner tubes would not be as cool. He's somewhere around comment 100. People love you, Guy. Why? So, Guy, why do people? Here's a big meta question. Okay, but why do people like you so much?
I don't know. Maybe I don't threaten anybody. I don't know. I'm enchanting. I wrote the book on enchantment. What can I say? I don't know.
Nice.
You are enchanting.
Maybe maybe they think I'm Jackie Chan.
Dude, I never thought about that. And I'm just going to keep looking down now.
I think it's because you exude happiness. And I think people thrive on that.
Yeah.
Can I get a critique on a photo now?
Yes.
Wow.
Okay.
Dun, dun.
Okay, let this him is
have
my
it,
photo.
Let him have it, Trey.
Here we go. No,
hey, Trey, this is a photo I took yesterday. What do you think? This is a little bear playing goalie.
I won't start. I'll let Nicole start so she can dash your dreams upon the rocks of truth.
I think it's very cute. I like your frame in a frame.
Yeah.
Nice. You cut off the goalie though. Like it's cut off.
Well, he's a short guy. Okay.
Your turn, Trey.
Okay.
I love that. I love that. That was totally the refrigerator comment. That was like, well, Guy, that's a really nice picture. We appreciate it.
You gotta say something nice, right? And then you balance it with something, whatever the opposite of nice is.
That's okay. I work for Steve Jobs. Nothing can bother me now.
Yeah.
So if Nicole had taken that photo, I know what she probably would have done because she's good at taking photos of little things. But this is the thing you could have done is you could have gotten the camera like a little lower, right? Yeah. So you could actually – you could have put the camera right on the ground.
It was on the ground.
Well, you cut off the bottom of his little paws.
Back up maybe? Was it a longer lens? Like maybe the lens was too long, so you would have had to back up.
But, we got back, and then maybe just get that bear in focus, and then you could still have the goal in the background be a little bit out of focus. That would have given it a little bit more.
Well, the truth is that the camera was on the ground, and the distance between my eye and my jaw is too big, so I couldn't look through the viewfinder. So I was guessing.
I see. Well, you can always. I see. All right. Well, we'll use this as a transition to people show some of their own photos because we do. Everyone here is an interesting photographer, maybe except Guy. But maybe we can show some photos that we've been doing recently, and you could talk through them and tell us what you were thinking. I always like to say, and maybe this is just me, but I always like to talk about the art, the science, and the story behind it. Because, you know, that we actually have three kinds of viewers. One type of viewer is one that's just interested in art, but doesn't really know that much about photography. We have a lot of photographers that watch the show that want to know about the lens and the f-stop and all that nonsense. And then the third type is really just they want to know the story about what happened. So usually if you go through those three things with every photo, then you make everybody happy. So Jeremy, do you have some stuff you want to share with us and talk through?
I do. I am still gathering a couple of things, so maybe let somebody else go first.
Ah, okay. Who's ready? Raise your hand if you're ready.
I can go. I'm ready.
Go, Nicole, go.
Okay. I'll go ahead and screen share. Okay. Can you guys see my photo?
Yes.
I have a couple. I have three photos. Is that all right?
Yes.
I can try and move quickly.
Can you make your window wider, Nicole?
I can do that. Absolutely. How's that?
That's good.
Okay. So this is a photo. I live in Seattle. I'm in Portland, Oregon right now, but I'm up in Seattle and I wanted to go photograph the tulip fields, and it's about an hour north drive of Seattle. So I went there for a couple days. Well, I got up there and not only were the tulip fields barely blooming, there was like three rows of actual tulips, bunch of daffodils as in this shot. The weather was not cooperative. So I kind of just went with the uncooperative weather and found all these gloomy, stormy skies. I have another photo, actually, of really cool different skies, but this is a long exposure over the daffodil fields. I use, whenever I photograph landscape, for the most part, when I'm doing a wide landscape, I like to use my tilt shift lens because I really like to correct the geometric distortion. So I used my 24 tilt shift lens. I used a Lee Big Stopper, which is a 10-stop ND filter to block the light so I could get some of the clouds are all kind of smooth and silky because of that really long exposure. I believe it was, I think I have the photo details here, like 100 and something seconds, 130-second exposure at F11. So that was kind of taking, you know, oops, wrong one, taking lemons and making lemonade with it. So there's that one. My second one is, it's not a good photo. So this is, there's a lot of story behind this photo. So this is my photo. And then this is my boyfriend, Brian Matias. This is his exact same photo of the same scene. He used a different lens, so it's a little bit wider shot. His is absolutely gorgeous. If you want to actually read the full story about what I'm about, the condensed version was, he was standing next to me and accidentally bumped my tripod while I was doing this exposure. And it was one of those moments where the light was in the perfect spot. And, you know, you see this angle of light coming right here. And this, it'd been all gloomy and gross. And then the sun came out and it was glorious. And I had this beautiful reflection and I was getting the perfect shot. And then boom, and I lost it and it was gone forever.
Are you sure it wasn't one of these smarmy situations where he's like behind you showing you how to swing a golf club?
Well, I think he knew I was getting a good shot too, so he just wanted to
typical Matias move.
He shot blocked you.
He got a beautiful photo, so I'm happy that his turned out. And it's just kind of one of those things we laugh about now. It wasn't really even it was a thing we laughed about at the beginning, you know, but it was still so you know, it's one of those learning experiences, you know, make sure that when people are crisscrossing their tripods next to yours and trying to steal your shot, then, you know, that they don't mess it while they're doing it. So, and say hi, Brian.
Well, hi.
He just walked in listening to me talk about him behind his back. All right. And my last one is actually, I've shared this on Google+, but I recently got a Lytro camera. Maybe I wonder if I make my screen smaller, if that'll make it bigger. Yeah, there we go. So I got a Lytro. I've been having a lot of fun playing with this. And this is actually for my rooftop. And the Lytro camera allows you to, when you click, as I'm clicking on the space needle there, it changes the focus to the space needle. So I've just been having a lot of fun playing with this and kind of learning it. It's there's a little bit of a learning curve. But and I know, Trey, you have a lot of experience using these as well. So I thought I'd just kind of share that image. So those are my photos. That's all.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
I'll share some now, and then maybe we'll go RC and then Jeremy and Guy if he wants to share some also. Let me screen share my screen here. Just share my whole...
Guy kind of ruined it for us. I don't think any of us can top that that bear goalie.
After goalie bear, I don't know, man.
All right, so I'm going to do something special. I'm going to show some Lightroom photos that are really, I haven't even Photoshopped yet. Okay, can you guys see that shot of San Francisco?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So these are all new shots that I just took, I think, two nights ago. And I haven't had a chance to fully process them yet, but there's nice little stories behind them and whatnot. So this is shot with a 28-300 lens on a tripod. This spot I found using Stuck on Earth, which is, you know, the free app that helps you find photo locations. And this was in Thomas Hawk's top 50 secret spots in San Francisco. And first I went here with Tom Anderson two nights before. We had a heck of a time trying to find this exact spot. But then we found it. And the real shot from his is looking straight down the bridge. But if you move over a little bit to the left and use, you know, I think this is just about 28 millimeter on a full frame, then you can get the city and the bridge. So I like the way this turned out. This has had Lightroom adjustments in it, by the way. That's not, you know, right out of the camera. But once I'm all done with it, I'll put it up on Google Plus and you'll see the final version, which I hope will be even better once I spend some Photoshop love on it. Okay, and then I'll show you one other photo, but there's a little bit of a story behind it. So I went to Burning Man, and I saw this amazing statue there 2 years ago. Her name is Bliss. She's huge. I don't know if you can tell, but these are people down like under her feet. It was a really cool statue, and it looks amazing from every angle. And I always heard that they took this statue away and put it somewhere in San Francisco, but I didn't know where. I'm sure I just could have Googled it or whatever, but it just kind of was one of those things that stuck in my mind. And so I was using Stuck on Earth to find a few places in San Francisco, and then I saw this girl statue pop up again. So I went to go take photos of her that same night. And I'll show you three photos. These are all right out of the camera. And then maybe you guys in the comments, if you want me to edit one versus the other, I can't decide which one of these to edit, but I'll show you all three of them. So here's the first one I took. They put it in a really cool spot. It's in this park on Treasure Island. And you can see, let me zoom in here. You can see San Francisco there back behind your foot. Still loading the higher res version of it. But I thought it was a really cool location for a statue. And I kind of positioned her so that she was just kind of behind these trees or in the middle of those two trees at least. And so the color changes every 5 minutes or so. So that's option one, red. Okay, vote for one, that one if you like, want me to work on that one. This is option two, purple. One thing that's neat about the statue is she's made out of these little grids, and sometimes she's lit from the inside when you can see the grid, and sometimes she's lit from the outside and she's sort of flatly lit. So this one is later at night. Then here's the third option when she's all pink, and this is later after the sun gone down. So anyway, there's a couple unedited photos and a few little stories and options for you. I'll stop.
I like your purple one, Trey.
You say purple?
I like because of the background.
Yeah, the background makes the purple.
Nicer, yeah, you have a nicer, it's a little bit lighter gradient. It's not too bright, not too dark. So it kind of makes the whole photo come together.
Purple. Okay.
And I like purple too, but.
Your opinion carries a lot of. So thank you.
Oh.
Okay. RC, you want to share some and then Jeremy can?
Oh, yeah.
Guy, by the way, Guy, if you want to, you can get a few more photos ready to share. Go ahead, RC.
Oh, Guy's muted.
Sorry. I have to deal with somewhat of a special thing right now. So okay. If you don't mind, I have to drop off now, okay?
No problem.
I have a special circumstance here, so.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, and I look forward to seeing everybody at the conference soon. Thank you for all having right. me on the hangout. Bye-bye. Right.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye. Is it me, or did he just say I have to deal with a sexual thing?
No. Special.
It sure is what it's special. Special.
I'm going to check your special. Mic there, Jeremy.
Yeah. I think he got excited when he heard about an evening with Jeremy Cower.
Oh, dude, that's funny.
I have to change my schedule for that.
Over on the Twitch chat, over on the Twitch chat, Reposter said room service. All
right. Arrived.
Right.
That's just wrong, Reposter.
Yeah, so by the way, we're all watching, or a lot of us are in the Twitch chat room. If you're watching on live.twit.tv, they have a chat room there, and I'm in there, RC is in there, and I bet other people are too, so we enjoy reading all the live comments streaming in there as well. Okay, go on, RC, tell us what.
All right, here, hold up a second. No, that's just opening. Whoa, no, that's not what I want to do.
Whoa.
All right, can you guys see this okay?
Yes, we see okay. A lot of right. Photos changing.
Hold up a second. No, let me do this. Well, these I've already shown before. So that's just, this is one shot that I did over in Washington, D.C. Recently, we had gone out and we had taken a look at the, we're doing a Photoshop world in D.C. And a lot of the times what happens is we don't get a lot of time to play around. So we got one night, and the night before we kind of went out and we shot the Lincoln Memorial. We were shooting with the tripod late at night. By late, I was like talking like 10 o'clock at night. A lot of the times, what happens with that stuff is a lot of the times there's people kind of floating all over the place. And one of the first questions that people ask about this is, you know, were there people there? I was like, obviously there were people there. The best thing to do, and a lot of the times when you're working with HDR stuff, rather than sit there and press and hold it and just kind of just turn around and just go clack, 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 and just hit all five shots at the same time, just take yourself off of a continuous mode and just hit one, hit the second one. If somebody stands in front of the shot, just wait. And then wait for that person to leave and then hit the next one and then hit the next one and then you're done. So that's something that can do that. And the other thing that I wanted to do from a technical detail for this was I wanted to try to do something that made it look very, very different. Like when you sit at the Lincoln Memorial, it's a very different experience than seeing kind of like the straight up part of the Lincoln Memorial. When people just see that kind of the horizontal version of it, a lot of the times it just looks like a little toy. And what people don't know is that the span from one leg to another is about 6.5 feet. I know. So what I did for this was, this is actually 18 shots. So it's shot in a vertical panel. So what I did is I shot portrait mode, and I shot 9 frames, and then I moved the tripod to the right and I shot the other 9 frames, and I shot from a corner of it so that you kind of get that same feeling that you get when you're inside of the Lincoln Memorial. I mean, it's a big monument. And a lot of the times I think that we lose that quite a bit. So, two more shots. This one. That night, we went to bed and everybody turned around and said, you know what, man, I totally want to go. Totally want to go at 5 o'clock in the morning. Totally want to go at 5 o'clock in the morning, get together and do the sunrise. Everybody went to bed. And I'm like, all right, guys, I'll see you guys in 2 hours. Went to bed for 2 hours, got up, and people turned around and just nobody came. I was standing outside at like 4:45 in the morning and no one's there. And I'm like, dude, this sucks. No one came. And I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm just going to go out. And the reason nobody came out was because everything was socked in. So they were like, you know what? No sunrise, no capital, forget it. A lot of the times when you turn around and when you think you don't have a shot, you should still go try and take the shot. Go try and take the shot. Work it. Wrestle with your shot. Sometimes the best shot that you're looking for is a shot you don't know that's there. So I got in a cab and I said, you know what? I'm just going to try it. I'm going to try it. I went through the front and the front sucked. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to walk around. And as I was walking around, it was still cloudy. It was still socked in. And I said, you know what? Let me throw caution to the wind and let me just try that shot. So it's about getting aggressive and being aggressive and jumping in and just doing most of that stuff. And I kind of got that morning hour shot that in HDR would work very, very well. You know, jumping a railing and showing up somewhere where you're not supposed to sometimes could give you a really, really good shot. So this is the one I want to talk about. A lot of the times when I'm going out and I'm trying to work on making a shot, what I'll do is I'll usually preconceive a shot, right? This guy's a glass blower that's here in Tampa. And I saw him blowing glass, and I'm like, you know what? I really, really want to make a great shot of him. So I ran there, and I was like, dude, let me go ahead and make a shot with you at 2200 ISO and just hold still. So I did this shot, and the shot sucked. It was a horrible shot, but I ran to the pizza place next door, opened up my Mac, processed it as best as I could, and I brought it back to him. And I said, take a look at this. This is awesome. Now, this shot isn't the 2200 ISO shot. The 2200 ISO shot sucked, but it was better than a shot that he had normally seen of himself. So when I told him, dude, I need to make another shot of you at a much different ISO for a longer period of time where you're going to stick your face really close to a flame and you're going to hold still, he gets it. He's like, dude, I know. Okay, I know exactly what you're trying to do. I'm willing to do it because I saw the shot that you did prior to that. So sometimes the key point with all of this stuff, I think for me, is about being aggressive. Sometimes when you're working with shots, just when you think you don't have it, you have to go out and try to make it. Just when you think that it's not going to be there or somebody's going to say no, you have to wrestle with it. And I think that's the important part. When I go out and shoot, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for how can I wrestle that picture down. Inspiration's great, but I don't wait for inspiration. I try to wrestle inspiration down so that I can go and shoot what I need to shoot.
Yeah, RC, also to piggyback off of something that you said in there was a lot of times when I'm watching other photographers photograph other people, you know, whether it's a model or it's just someone on the street, they'll just be very into their camera. They'll be taking a picture, looking at their camera, taking a picture. The moment you get a great photo and you show it to that model or whoever you're photographing, they go, oh my God, I can actually see, you know, they see through your eyes, they get your vision. All of a sudden their confidence goes through the roof and then they become a much better model for you. So that's, you know, something to consider.
It's a very intimidating process. And what happens is, and I always tell people all the time that this is the process, right? When people shoot anything, this is the process that people see. Mm-hmm. And it's like aiming a gun at somebody. Somebody turns around and they're like, what is he doing? Where is he going with this? Where is he going into this? And then you click, and I see people do this all the time, and I hate it. You click, and you show frustration, and the person that's sitting there is going, what did I do? And they don't realize that it's you. You're struggling with this gear. You're struggling with the switches. You're struggling with all of this stuff. The moment that you turn around and you go, hey, let me show you this, the moment that that happens, they realize that it's a partnership. They realize that you're working with them to make a really, really good shot. And that makes all of the difference when you're shooting.
Yes. Thanks for that, RC. So we've been joined here by Vic Gundotra. Hey, Vic, how are you? I think you're muted. You know, there's this new book by Guy Kawasaki that talks a lot about this plus and how you can use it to the greatest effect. And
oh my God! Hello, everybody. I was just enjoying the discussion. Thanks for letting me drop in.
Sure. We've been talking about this big Google Plus Photographers Conference, and you know, I'm sure I speak for everybody when I say thank you for you know, supporting the photography community and helping to put this conference together. We're all really, really excited about it.
I'm excited as well. I know Bradley is speaking, and forward to the Google Plus photography community has had a big impact on me. In fact, Trey, I just got my first print from the place you recommended. Can I show it to you?
Yes, let's see.
Hang on.
Image Wizards.
Yeah, let's take a tour of the Gundotra Palace. I guess it probably was. Yeah, that looks like Image Wizards there.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Can you, I see it reflecting back on.
Now we can see it.
Wow. You see that?
Yeah.
I mean, the image detail is just unbelievable.
They do amazing work.
So what's special about Image Wizards?
So Image Wizards, and maybe I'm not the best person to talk to this because I don't know much about printing, but from what I know is I've seen many metal prints from many different companies, and they start with this pure white sheet of aluminum. So it initially starts with sort of this luminosity that's glowing. Then when they a print on top of it, something happens when you look at it. It doesn't come across on video. It's like seeing a commercial for HD TV on a regular TV. But it does feel like a 40-inch or a 50-inch Apple display. It's really remarkable. If you have the good lighting on it, it's crazy. Yeah, did you take that photo, Vic?
I had gotten my new Canon 5D Mark III. I walked outside. The sprinklers had just been running. And I sat down on the ground and took a picture of a tulip. And I was really rushed. I only had like 2 or 3 minutes. I came in, and that's unprocessed completely. Not a single thing has been done to the shot. Just from RAW, I sent it to Image Wizards. They printed out on this thing. It's incredible. And I'm blown away. It's pretty amazing.
Cool. What kind of lens did you use there?
That was a 50 millimeter 1.2, I think. Yeah. Yeah. So you can't tell on video. You have to actually see this thing. But I think your example of an Apple Cinema display is exactly right. It just looks so unreal.
It almost looks backlit.
Yeah, exactly. It's just unbelievable. And it's, you know.
Here, I'll show you mine. Watch this. This thing,
reflective.
The level of detail that these guys put out on their stuff, like I think I have like 6 of them floating around here. They just do phenomenal work on that stuff.
RT, so, I think I have that print. Did you send one of those to Bradley?
This one?
Oh no, it's a different one. Okay, no.
I was just gonna say. I know that they have a bunch of my stuff there. That's in here, just for those who are watching in the chat. That shot was this shot. That was actually taken from, there's a hotel in New York City called the Essex House Hotel. So that's the, that's from the roof of the Essex House.
Cool. It's a nice one.
But yeah, so they do phenomenal. I'm glad you like those guys. Those guys are phenomenal printers.
Thank you for the recommendation, Trey.
Sure. Yeah, no problem. Well, we were going around the horn here and just getting to Jeremy Cowart, who's going to share some photos and tell us about them.
I'm going to drop off really quickly, but thank you guys so much for letting me hop in for a minute.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for coming.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Hello. Just before the chat started, I remembered, I need to show some photos. A lot of photo shoots that I've done recently, I'm not allowed to share, and so I just decided to show some work that has been on my website for a while, but at least I can tell the stories behind them. And I can't remember which images I shared last time. But anyway, I'll just jump in. Let me see. I have such slow internet here at my house that let's hope this works. The screen share. Here we go. 1 second. Can y'all see me? There we go.
Yes.
Are you seeing one image or three?
Three.
All right.
So it's because you're sharing Bridge rather than... So if you share the whole desktop or share the app that's opening up once you open the image?
Okay. We'll just do this.
Could make the thumbnails giant in Bridge.
Yeah, that's true. Let's do that. So there's our giant thumbnail. Gosh, I suck. I'm trying to open it in Photoshop. Hello, Photoshop.
Exit out of the screen share.
What's that?
Exit out of the screen share because you're just sharing Bridge. So when you open it, even if it opens in Photoshop, it won't show up because you're just sharing Bridge.
Okay. So I'm sorry. I've never done this before, so how do I stop sharing?
Go back to the Hangout and click Screen Share again, and then click it again to bring up the dialog of what screens to share, and then choose Desktop or Photoshop.
Okay. I got it. All right. Here we go. So like I said, this is my first time to do this. Last time I tried it, my internet cut out on me, which was a good time, and I'm sure this chat is really engaging and exciting to watch right now. So,
no, it's all right. Don't worry.
Thanks, everybody, for hanging in there with me.
Now, believe it or not, I have a theory about that, Jeremy. It's interesting to watch interesting people fumble around. it's true. I mean, that sounds weird, but yeah. You know, like for example, I'll even watch Leo Laporte like between shows where like he, you know, he's just doing whatever. It's just interesting. I don't know why. So fumble around all you want. We're really drinking it in.
Well, I'm in
human. You're human.
Yeah.
I'm in Photoshop and it's not.
All right. So exit out of the screen share and share your whole desktop. It's the first option when you try the screen share.
Maybe do a little bit of pruning first.
And make sure there's nothing that we shouldn't see on your desktop.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, by the way, while he's doing that, everyone else can get ready their little Google Plus photographer discoveries or their suggestions of people to circle or follow or whatever. I've got mine ready to go.
There you go. That looks good now.
Your desktop is clean.
I do what I can. So we'll at least start with that. How's that? Will that work for now?
Sure.
This is just an image of my friend Laura Bell Bundy, and she's a country artist. And so we did an album shoot for her, and the next day we said she wanted to go down on the beach and mimic a classic Marilyn Monroe photo shoot. So we just walked around, no lights, no assistants, and I mean, actually, I did have assistants because we were doing a separate video thing, but really, really run and gun for my style. I usually do the big shoots, big sets, all that stuff. So it was very, very cold, and she just had her bathing suit and a sweater, and I'm using a new software called Visual Supply Company. They make Visco films, that they call it. And if you go to visualsupply.co, you can check out their software because it's really, really amazing. Basically, it's Lightroom presets. You just dump the presets into Lightroom or Aperture. And you can mimic pretty much every film stock there is and get different film looks. So this is the digital file shot with my Canon 5D Mark II. Processed with Visual Supply Company, and it looks like looks like film. And so I love, and you can see this full photo sheet on my blog if anybody's interested. There's a lot more photos on the blog post featuring her shoot. So that's Laura Bell Bundy, who is a very good friend. This was I'll rewind. A couple years ago, I was heavy and overweight, and there was a gym I wanted to go to work out. And so I called this gym and I said, "Hey, can I work out there in exchange? I'll do some photos for y'all." And they said, "Sure, why not?" So they started letting me work out at this gym, and in exchange, I would do photos for them. So, one day they're like, "Hey, we've got some college athletes coming in. Would you mind taking their pictures?" I was like, "Sure." And so one of those athletes happened to be this guy named Tim Tebow. And so I probably got not even 5 minutes with Tim Tebow. And I shot this image as well as a few others. I was thrilled that I'd have that shot for my website, my portfolio. At least another year or two went by, and I got a call from a publisher. They said, "Hey, we've been looking for this photo. We thought it was a GQ photo shoot, but we found out it was one of your photos. So can we use this for his?"
Oh, oh darn! That was a nice story there. Thanks for showing.
Hello.
Hey, Jeremy.
We were all enthralled in your story, and then you just vanished.
Yeah.
So where did it cut me out?
It was right.
It was a GQ photo, and
yeah, they thought it was a GQ photo shoot, but it was my little shoot from the gym, and so they bought the rights to it, published the book. The book is now Harper One's bestseller of all time, and Tim Tebow did well for himself this year, and so it's been an amazing little thing. So then I start working for HarperCollins, and then they hire me to shoot that other book cover, and I don't even know if I dare try to screen share again. Do y'all want me to?
Yeah, man.
So they asked me to shoot Kyle Richards for her book cover, and they didn't have a camera guy that could stand in the back, so that is me. I ended up on her book cover. So if you go in stores and see this book, you will see me and Kyle Richards on her book cover, which is pretty funny. So obviously I had the camera on a tripod for this. Can y'all still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. And the cool thing was they actually filmed our photo shoot. And so a couple months ago, I was on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills as the featured photographer. And there was probably a good, you know, three to four minutes of our photo shoot. And so this shoot came from the Tim Tebow shoot, which came from the gym, which came because I was overweight and broke and couldn't afford the gym. So you never know what's going to happen if you're overweight and broke. That's the moral of the story. You're going to end up on TV. You're going to get to shoot famous people.
I can't wait.
So anyway, that's my very funny story. Technically, this shot here, the cover, was very, very tricky to light. We had lights all over the place, behind that counter, on the ground, aimed up at the ceiling. I wasn't too happy that they left her arm as is, because as you can see, her arm is a bit needs a little Photoshop love, but that's okay. But they wanted to show, like, you know, her and her everyday life situation with her kids everywhere and the cameramen. And so that's my Real Housewives of Beverly Hills story and my Tebow story and my Laura Bell.
He's like, when that I'm out.
No, he's a pro. He is a pro. See how he did that? All right, well, let's share a few photographers or artists that people might want to circle up or that people should know. Nicole, do you want to start?
Sure.
Go for it.
Okay, so my very first, I just have one. I hope that's okay. David Duchemin, he is not new to photography or social media, but he's really just started to embrace Google Plus, and the 15,000 people he has in his circle should be like amplified by like 100 times that. He has a very talented photographer. He writes a lot of amazing books. He has an ebook company called Craft and Vision. I kind of talked about a little bit earlier in the podcast, or in the what is this, a hangout podcast. and there's my book down there, but just here are a few photos of his that he's posted recently. I think this one is in Jamaica, and this one is a trip to Antarctica. But he does a lot of travel photography, humanitarian photography. So if you are a photographer, he's a good person to add to your circle.
Great. Thank you, Nicole. Yeah, Dave is cool. Everyone should circle him up. I agree. RC, do you have one for us now?
Yeah, I actually do. Let's go ahead. I'm just going to go ahead and just share my... Here, let me just...
RC, while you're at it, can you tell us where to find the website for the...
Oh, yeah, that's right. I totally wrote an email in the chat. Let me do this. I'll share this screen here. And then I'll do both of them at the same time. So if you want to find out more about the Google Plus conference, or you want to go to GPlusPC, so GPlusPC.com. That's the URL for you to get to the Google Plus Photography Conference. So that's the place. You can go there. You can register. You can take a look at all of the schedules. There's a whole bunch of information down here. Right? Not only are we doing portfolios, but you're doing one-on-one reviews, different types of classes that are going, live location shoots. So make sure that you guys take a look at that, and it shows all of the people that are going to be there. So check that out. But the person that I want to recommend for this is Brad Moore, right? If you go to bradgplus.com, right? bradgplus.com, that brings you to his website. Brad's is used to work for Scott Kelby, and before that he worked as an assistant for Joe McNally. So one of the things that a lot of people don't know about him is that Brad is a phenomenal concert photographer. And it's one of those things that's like where you take a look at some of his stuff, he has amazing, amazing work. And he goes out there and just for the pure love of it, just makes these amazing images of great, great bands. And so I think that he is somebody who definitely gets a lot of emotion
You know, these great use of color. So I think that that would be the recommendation for me. You have to take a look at bradgplus.com to check out Mr. Brad Moore. He's the guy that I would do.
Great. Thank you. Jeremy, should we try not risking sharing your screen again with your recommendation?
Well, I can just finish the story instead of trying to share my screen again. Where was I left off that time?
No, you did finish. It actually had a nice little bow on it, and then you cut out.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. So thanks. Well, I'll give my little find for you guys. Although I am departing from my usual thing of this person is not on Google Plus. I wish they were, but this is an inspirational artist to me. And if you don't know about this guy, then I just hope you spend some time on his website and maybe you'll like his work too. His name is Ray Caesar. I'm going to share my screen here. I just have five of his photos I'm going to share. So he does really, really interesting work. It's really kind of uncategorizable. And these are the kind of artists I tend to like, artists that can't really be categorized. Now, I'm going to show you a few images here rather than try to come up with some super niche. He has a really interesting technique. He has a little bit more about his technique on his website, but it involves painting and CGI and all sorts of things. And I don't know where this guy comes up with some of these ideas. I mean, he goes from the macabre to the sexual to the macabre and sexual. And, just really unique, interesting things that just come out of his mind. And he has a vision for these things and just does really crazy work. I think the guy's probably a little bit crazy, actually, but crazy in an awesome way. And there's all these little hints all over the place about other little stories that are happening, all kinds of details. You know, this is just a very random sampling of stuff that I've put together here. But, I mean, you probably just get the sense that this guy is just whack and awesome.
How do you spell his name again?
It's Ray Caesar. The Caesar spelling is the Julius Caesar spelling, C-A-E-S-A-R.
He has that. He has a very, there's a painter and sculptor named Botero, who's, I think he's a Colombian sculptor. His style reminds me a lot of that. That's so cool.
Yeah, that guy is great. I hope you enjoy his website. It's just raycaesar.com. I want to buy one of his prints, so I've emailed him back and forth a few times. Maybe I'll convince him to get over here on Google Plus with us. Okay, well, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Tony from Twit. Thank you, Twit Chat Room. Thanks, Dave, for putting this together, and Jeremy and Nicole, and RC, and the guy who's off doing unknown things in his hotel room. Anyway, thank you guys all very much. It was a great show. And for those of you that are coming to the conference in a few weeks, we'll all see you there. And we're looking forward to it. All right. Well, thanks. We can all just kind of wave goodbye now. And we'll see you next week at the same time. Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.